All on fire. Now there's a fire. There's another fire.
We're starting to really flame up. I'm taking my family and getting out.
Land temperatures have increased 1.988 degrees in the past 142 years. This is directly related to vegetation becoming drier. When a fire encounters dry environments, the tendency to spread becomes intensified. Data map overlays show a trend where when land temperatures are increased, the more forest that is burned. Forest environments have adapted to fires. This research examines why forest fires are increasing in frequency and intensity, what can be done to prevent them, and what damage is left behind. Fact must be the criteria that governs action. Theory aids opinion, yet must rely upon objective binary data. My intention is not to base my conscious opinion on the word of others. I want to see the data in the wild. It is because of that I can attest that global warming is causing wildfires to increase in terms of intensity and frequency. Our land and waters are warming, and the effects are catastrophic.
Journey to Earth explores health, wellness, and the best ways to increase longevity through uncharted expeditions and adventures. My name's Mark DeLuca. I'm an explorer, researcher, and humbled to be called a technology leader. Here is the Journey to Earth podcast.
Hello to all of our listeners. I am very excited for this episode to finally be available to release. This particular research took a fairly decent amount of time compared to some of our other past research projects that we have done. There's a number of different reasons, perhaps, and amongst the top, the first one here is because we actually had to engineer a sensor system that is capable of going out into the field, collecting the data that we want, and then displaying that data in a user-friendly view. To go along with that, we had to actually code out an application, which took about a week. We had to work through several different bugs to make all of that work. However, we finally got to a point where everything was stable and good to go. One of the other challenges with this expedition was that we actually visited three different locations. Each one of those locations was a forest, yet the first location was a swamp. The second was high up on a summit or near a summit on a mountain. And the third one was a forest, a very healthy forest. So in checking out all three of those locations, we also had to keep a close eye and play around with the weather. So here it is. I hope that everybody enjoys today's episode. Emergency dispatch receives the first call. A resident is reporting a possible forest fire. Additional calls are received. A dark smoke cloud begins to fill the sky. A forest fire is full speed ahead. The fire is spreading at a rate never seen before. Residents have little time to evacuate. Wildland firefighters prepare for one of the deadliest fires to date. What I just described was obtained from a recent California forest fire. Video captures heroic moments that forest firefighters battle the flames. How was this forest fire able to spread so quickly? Researchers suggest that drier conditions are enabling forest fires. If that is true, we should be able to confirm this by analyzing historical land temperatures. Our analysis combines 1.6 billion temperature reports. The results are interesting. I find a global land temperature increase of 1.988 degrees. I focus my search into the area of forest that we will be exploring on this expedition. For this focused area of land, the temperature has increased 1.436 degrees. This provides supporting data that explains why drier conditions are becoming more frequent. I want to take this one step further and better understand why land temperatures are increasing. We can rule out two theories right away. The first is that the sun is becoming warmer and sending those heat rays toward our planet. Sensors that are equipped to satellites show this is not to blame. What about Earth heating from its core? We can also dismiss this theory as well. The core is actually cooling. That rules out natural causes and leaves behind human involvement. And we'll continue to talk about this here in just a few minutes. I want to first share with you our very first expedition location. This was a forest where our hope was to navigate into swamp lands. The trail at the starting point was very wide. We progressed forward into the forest. With every step, the forest embraced us more. Grayson passes by a small plant that draws in his attention. It is green as can be and has the longest, sharpest thorns I have ever seen. This is an evolutionary beauty that's defensive in design. The sounds of nature and wildlife spring to life. Soon we find ourselves navigating with no trail. We are very watchful of poisonous snakes and other dangerous animals. After a small amount of time, we arrive at our sampling location. A few feet away, a lush swamp glistens in the sunlight. Grayson starts by collecting soil and swamp water samples. In order to obtain samples, I have to suspend Grayson over the swamp. It's a true act of trust. After collecting samples, we deploy our system that we developed to help identify soil health. Samples from our first location have been collected. Our expedition will take us into two other locations. Next, a forest recently devastated by a wildland fire. Last, a forest that is sprawling with vegetation. This will help us identify what type of damage a forest fire leaves behind. Unfortunately, a sensor system does not exist for what we need it for. One must be developed. I use a circuit, sensor, and application system capable of gathering data from the soil. Circuit connections easily become entangled. I must make all effort to test and ready the system in a controlled environment. Taking this into the backcountry will be very tricky. The source code for this took nearly a week to develop and rid of any bugs. Once out of the swamps, we have an opportunity to review the data. Although the forest and swamp area was bright green and appeared to look very healthy, the soil is deficient in all five areas of analysis. Our recordings factor in potential hydrogen, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, and soil hydration. As a reminder, this is a swamp. So in looking at the actual data that we were able to collect and analyze, I find that the soil hydration for this area is at 90%. And that's absolutely understandable as we are in swampland territory. Everything is very wet. Now, we find that the potential hydrogen or pH level is actually at 6. So that's not too far off from a pH rating of 7, which is neutral. Now, where we start to see things get a little worse is with the nitrogen, which registered an N1, which is deficient. Phosphorus was completely depleted, and potassium was at K1, which is deficient. Now, again, this is very understandable because we are in swampland territory. I would not imagine that the soil health elements that we are analyzing to be present in this type of environment. Now, if we went out maybe a quarter of a mile and now we're away from the swamp, we're in more of a forest land area, I would certainly hope that these values would increase toward a healthier side. After a short time of traveling, I finally arrive at my second location. This one will challenge me both physically and mentally. I must reach the summit of the mountain and then navigate slightly off its side. This is the location of a recent forest fire. I believe in unconventional approaches when exploring. My plan is to run and reach the summit of the mountain. This will be challenging, however, will allow for me to push my limitations. I find myself absolutely surrounded by wilderness. I suddenly feel this jolt of excitement and energy come over me. It always makes me think about the possibility of human beings having something buried within our genetic code that only the wilderness and outdoors can expose. The elevation intensifies and I can feel my body craving for oxygen. Every single one of my muscles feels like it's on fire. I know deep down inside that this is a defining moment. I push through and arrive at the summit and take in the view. Shortly after, I navigate into the section of the mountain that was recently exposed to the fire. Immediately upon entering this area, I can smell the remnants of a forest fire. Everything is shrouded in gray. I observe no signs of life besides some of the lucky trees that survived. I deploy my system and begin to collect and analyze soil health. Immediately, I observe that most values are the lowest yet. This tells me that following a forest fire, the soil loses nutritional value very quickly. So in looking at this data, I observe that the soil hydration is at 55%. If we go back and think about where it was at the swamps, it was at 90%. So we do see a fairly drastic decrease. But where we really start to see things get degraded is starting at the pH level, or potential hydrogen, where it drops to 5.5. So that is starting to downward slope toward very acidic soil. I also find that the nitrogen levels are completely depleted. The phosphorus is at P1, so deficient, and potassium is also at K1, which is deficient. The actual values here, though, show that this area compared to even the swamp area is very much deficient. Walking around, I also search for any signs of life. I have heard that pine cones use the fire to release seeds. If true, was this an adaptation that slowly evolved as forest fires intensified? Looking at a charred pine cone, I find that its scales are wide open. Now, this is interesting because the scales are normally held closed by a resin. Protected inside each scale are two seeds. The theory that I have heard is true. The heat from a forest fire burns away the resin. This causes the scales to open and the seeds to fall. Once on the ground, the seeds germinate by burrowing into the ground. This creates a life cycle that is replenishing. I find that fire has also rid the forest of vegetation that have built up. This comes at a cost, though. Mature trees will eventually die and fall to the ground. This creates large decaying biomass. Some of the carbon dioxide is absorbed into the ground. The remaining amounts of carbon dioxide flow into the atmosphere during a forest fire. This is a type of greenhouse that traps heat. Think of it like insulation. While aspects of a forest have adapted to fires, it comes at a cost that is too high. I think to myself, how do most forest fires even start? Well, nearly 85% of forest fires start due to human involvement. Natural causes consist of the other 15%. This includes a primary cause of lightning. The best preventive tactic is education. Teaching humans to be mindful regarding fire safety will help reduce the 85%. Land management and controlled burns also help reduce fuel for fires. Using innovative technology that allows for resources to monitor risks and environmental factors is very important. Interactive data and maps allow for proper response to the most risky areas. Navigating into the final location, I feel like I'm in an enchanted forest. It simply has a presence of being healthy. Everything is green and smells of flowers. Butterflies are flying everywhere and wildlife is abundant. It almost feels staged, like this is out of a storybook. The reality is that it is not. This is real life. After analyzing the numbers, it is clear how much healthier this area is. We now have data that will help us answer our initial questions. So we find that the soil hydration for this area of a healthy forest is at 85%. So not that far off, actually only 5% from the very first location we visited, which was swamps. I find that the pH or potential hydrogen level is at 7. The nitrogen is N2, which is very healthy and stable. Phosphorus is P2, again, healthy and stable. And potassium is at K2, healthy and stable. So when we look at these values compared to all of our other locations, we actually see that these values are times two. They're doubled in many aspects. So we see a very big distinction between the soil health in regards to an area of forest that was recently devastated by a forest fire compared to a sprawling, healthy, beautiful green forest. Global warming is causing land temperatures to rise. This causes land to become drier. Preventing this is not a one-answer solution. We must start somewhere with actual results. Climate control changes, land management, and fire prevention awareness are valid places to start. Our research has shown us just how resilient and adaptive the forest is to fires. As fires become more destructive, this may no longer be the case.